Welcome to Still Not Asking For It, a podcast brought to you by Hope Harbor, a sexual trauma recovery center. I'm your co-host and producer, Mel, and in this episode, we revisit the conversation from last week with Kelly from our partner organization, Ampersand, as we analyze the world of Bachelor Nation and reality TV as a whole. We really dive into Katie's season of The Bachelorette and look to see if the climate of the show has really changed, as well as discussing the future of reality TV and media in general. Content warning, there are discussions in this episode of racism and sexual assault. We're really excited to continue this conversation with Kelly. Enjoy the episode.
But I've heard too, during interviews, so they do these extensive interviews beforehand, like hours and hours and hours of interviewing about you. So if you say you're scared of heights, you're definitely going to be jumping off a cliff.
I'd be like, I'm really afraid of massages and swimming pools.
Like, there was one girl who was like afraid of bumper cars. Well, they had a bumper car date. One girl had dated a country singer. So, of course, they brought that country singer to sing at that date that she was on the one-on-one with The Bachelor. And the country singer was mad. Like, he came out and he's like, I did not know she was going to be there. Like, this is not okay.
Oh, like both their bamboozled.
They like saw each other, like her from the crowd, him in that state. And he was like, you saw it. And then she had to admit to The Bachelor, like, that was my ex-boyfriend. Like, yeah, they set it up. Like, they know what's going to hit the button and they go for it. So if, like, the virgin guy is like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Of course they make him write a poem about how he would have sex with a bachelorette.
I bet that was a horribly awkward poem.
Well, actually, this season, the virgin is really likable.
Yeah.
The virgin. Because there's only one.
There's always a virgin. Yeah.
There's always a virgin. And it's their only personality trait.
Is this the born again virgin?
No, that was Sean Lowe.
Okay.
And then Sean Lowe was like, I feel like in The Bachelor, like untouchable, and I just ain't a fan anymore. He really defended Chris Harrison as like, I don't watch anymore because Chris Harrison's gone. So he's now unfollowed on my Instagram. I only liked him for his wife anyway, to be honest.
His wife's really cool.
It's been a very big thing. Like Ashley Iaconetti was very famously like the virgin, Becca Tilly, Colton Underwood. Like there's always like, and they talk so much about it. Like it's like so many of their like
this special gift
confessional conversations is like, when do I tell them that I've never had sex? And it's like, they're acting like it's this conversation that is like, and then I'm like,
do they make them seem good? Like they make them seem better.
It depends on the person.
It depends.
Sometimes it's like shaming, like Colton.
If it's a man, is it shaming?
More so.
When Colton was The Bachelor, everything was about. We were so sick of hearing about that man's virginity. Like every teaser, every tagline, there were so many Bachelor virgin puns that season. It was.
And this is the one that came out as gay?
Mm-hmm. This is the one who came out as gay. This is also the one who, at the end, his top choice self-eliminated. And so he left and followed her and like ended the show and then ended up stalking her.
He's gay as hell.
Well, they did a thing on the play on the 40-year-old virgin. Get it? It looks like the thing. That was his whole thing. And his tagline was, what does he have to lose?
Oh, God.
See, it's like really bad. Like Ashley Iaconetti, they made her into like the crazy girl, like the clingy crazy virgin. Where she went on Bachelor in Paradise and she like found this guy. She's like, that's it. I'm going to marry him. And like was so certain, made her seem like a 14-year-old, like horrible teenager because she was emotional. And she's very open and honest about like her emotions. And they made that like it was a bad thing. They shamed her for it. She ended up dating someone else. And then that was a big topic of conversation. Like, did you lose your virginity? And she's like, that's not like a topic of conversation. Like, I don't want to talk about that.
She even came out at one point and she was like, this will be the last statement I'm ever making on my virginity. Like, it is henceforth for me and my partner to know. Like, she had to like, I actually really like Ashley I. She did end up with that guy.
She
after
did.
Lots of persistence and problematic pushing.
She had to like push him.
It was one of those situations where like she almost went a little too hard in. Like she's like, "You will marry me," and he was like, "Sorry, like you're freaking me out." At least that's how it was edited. But I really do think that might be how it is because. From like listening cartoon. To her podcast and stuff, when she was kind of naive and young, like she's like, "I look like Jasmine and he looks like Aladdin," and it was very weird in that how she discussed it.
She's such a Disney stan. She's a Disney
adult.
Adult, yeah.
Yeah. And so then she went on to have like this trajectory of like,
but you know, ABC is owned by Disney. Program. Yeah. So,
well, she kind of dropped him. Like they were still friends, but she kind of was like, "I'm not obsessing over you anymore. I'm my own person." She went on and got with hot Canadian Kevin on Winter Games or whatever.
Winter Games.
He is a man, first off. I'm all about Canadian Kevin. He's doing great things. He's like very like, I don't know how to
say. He's having a baby with Astrid now.
We like him.
I like the name Astrid.
They're very open too about a lot of things.
Yes. But like, so she went and got independent and Jared really liked it.
and then he came back and she took him back.
What do you mean he got independent?
Like Ashley stopped being needy for him and went off and found happiness with Kevin. And then of course he crawled back.
Okay. She was like throwing events and like doing her thing. And they actually have a really sweet, God, I hate myself. They have
their YouTube.
Yeah. It's really sweet. It made me cry.
I sobbed.
I think they're actually in love, but
like him talking about her and like remembering the exact outfit she was wearing when he realized he was in love with her. I mean, like it's what every person wants to hear from their person, you know, I like them.
It's sweet.
She's kind of a bachelor sweetheart where she gives into a lot of the things that production wants. Her and Ben Higgins, I feel like, are the two people that are kind of the do-good in Bachelor, where like, where they don't really cause controversy over much. So they're very well liked by the powers that be, I guess.
Are we still talking about virgins?
And that's one of them was a virgin. Yeah.
One of them
That's interesting too. Like a lot of these people think that the producers are their friends and they'll have these producers speak at their weddings. They'll have these
or be bridesmaids and stuff in their weddings.
Yeah. And I think that it's really hit or miss based on like what your experience is, right? Like I think some people are treated, Nick Viall is an example of someone who has been treated very, very well by producers. He could have been taken down by production and he must know something. I don't know. They're very nice to Nick Viall.
Yeah.
And then someone like Olivia Caridi is like, don't trust production. Are you crazy? So it's another interesting thing of like, can you be friends with your boss? Can you be friends with your teacher? Can you be, you know, there's a power dynamic there that I feel like is just so ignored or at least not well understood on set.
Well, and especially in that way where literally their job as producers, right, is to create this content. And clearly they're willing to create content that is exploitive. I mean, it's all of it's exploitive.
Well, and they get...
It's like, basically human trafficking.
They get like commissions based upon how long their people stay. So like producers have came off the show and talked about it to where like in the beginning, there's like 30 contestants. There's like, I don't know, like 10 producers or something. So there's a producer for the lead. And then there's producers that handle the rest of the cast. So one producer, say you're a producer, you would have like three or four contestants that are yours. You make sure they where they need to be. You interview them when they're in their little like whatever. So if you're good at your job and you get the drama and you get the things that need to happen, the next year you'll get contestants that have a better shot at winning. So they won't give you the boring people. They'll give you
They really do have something to get out of
Yes. They'll give you the golden girl or they'll give you the big drama person that you're going to get more out of. The longer your person stays in, the better you will make money as a producer and what your odds will be next year. So they're almost manipulated in a way as well to do better, to better their careers.
You know, that's interesting too. I hadn't even thought about like them as pawns, right? Like there's a puppet master even above them, but there's a rumor. And I don't know if this is true, but there's kind of a notorious producer who retired recently and things have gotten a little more brutal since he's been gone. His name is Elon Gale.
I was wondering if that's who you're talking about. Because some people are real good friends with him too.
Yes. And he used to, there is tale that he used to like be like, I'll give this $100 to like the first producer who makes someone cry. I'll give this to the first person who starts a fight. Like he would like incentivize them like that. And since he's left, I think his first season not on was Peter's season, which was like a brutal, brutal season for like producer manipulation. And so there are people who are thinking that there's like been this void that was made when that producer left that all these other producers are trying to like
hit his spot. Get.
So they're all trying to like be ruthless to like be the next Elon Gale.
So Elon Gale was like a regular producer and then he got so big because he did so well. You all know
the producer's names too. Like this is just wild.
Because he did so well. And then he's the one who created Bachelor in Paradise. And so he got like executive producer rights to that because it was his concept. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can tell they are, I mean, and they're good friends with them. Like you'll hear a lot of the Bachelor people talk about like Elon Gale and them like hang, like I know like Wells Adams and him were good friends.
He gave a toast or something at Ashley, and Jared's wedding.
I think he was the one who like officiated.
Yes. Yeah, he did. He officiated the wedding. You're right.
Because he officiated Tanner, the relationship.
Because Tanner was the one that was supposed to do it. And remember they had Jade had her baby and they couldn't come. We know way too much.
You do know both of y'all.
Like, this is like a little side thing about Jade and Tanner. They also got in trouble for like a gambling, cheating in a sports gambling ring recently. Did you hear about that?
I feel like I've heard something, but I don't remember what it was. Like she won some money or something and it was not
They like
an appropriate situation.
They do like shady sports gambling.
I'd love to know
a little.
Who would win in a Bachelor Nation trivia? Like who would?
I think it depends on what it was about.
Yeah.
But I feel like we could be a great team together.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And I can do this with other like Love Island, especially the UK version. I think I could handle it there too. Maybe Big Brother, Real World, all of them. Reality television, yeah. I got it. So I do want to get to, though, stuff about this season, because I do think there's positives that this season done. So
Is this Bachelor or Bachelorette? Bachelorette. Because my mom, I messaged her and my sister and was like, we're recording a podcast about Bachelor or Bachelorette. Hannah, maybe you will listen to this episode. And my mom's like, hold on, what is she? She was like, last night they asked the guys to not jack off and I thought that was too far.
I think it's appropriate. Katie's trying to see, like it was a conversation and how she worded it was she was also going to abstain from sexual things with herself.
Sex with self.
And it was funny how many like ways they said it without saying the word masturbate.
Because they couldn't say masturbate?
Or they were just like playfully going around it, like doing like.
But why?
Word don't play on words.
Because this show is so weird about sex, man. It's so weird about sex.
And it was this whole thing of like, I'm going to try it. I just want you to try it to see how you can do. I do want to say one.
And what's this bachelor at?
Katie. As well as Adams named her Dildo Girl.
Oh, they've told her then to tell, like, that it's obviously a topic.
Yeah.
Right? Masturbation is like a topic
So she has talked a lot about sex positivity. She's talked about women deciding, or people in general, but especially women, like making those decisions for themselves. Mm-hmm. She's talked a lot about like consenting relationships. She has discussed even when Mike, who's the virgin this season, discussed his virginity. She said that wasn't a problem to her. You know, like anyone's choices is their choices. And like she respects everyone's choices. I feel like overall she's handled a lot of things well. There have been race discussions this season. Just a week ago, they talked about where one of the contestants who's Black, Andrew.
Is there like one contestant who's Black?
No, it's more diverse now.
The season's more diverse.
Mm-hmm. So how many?
Like 30%, 40% of color. And he said something about, you know, I've dated people in the past who questioned having biracial children. And she was like they had a good discussion. And
I think it's interesting because listening to Bachelor podcasts after that, they're like, these things have been discussed before. They've discussed politics. They've discussed religion. They've discussed race. Bachelor has never aired those discussions before. They've aired drama.
They've said that
over
about
normal
Big Brother
relationship conversations. And now they're choosing to air this stuff, which I think is important because people need to see it. Like, it wasn't until...
But the voices... Right. The people who are like, we've had these conversations are only the contestants that could ever share that.
Yeah.
Right. Like after so long, once they get
once out, they're out of contract. So on a couple seasons ago, I think it was Tayshia's was the first time anything had been mentioned about like any racial issue. Like someone came on and talked about like Black Lives Matter and how it affects them and really went in depth about like racial issues and
they
how
put
it's
a bunch
black
of cops
man
on her season.
It's. No, they've gotten a little bit better, but I think it's performative. I think a lot of it's performative to appease certain people like me who see it.
Well, and the cast is kind of using their power a little bit better too, because a lot of people who were on Tayshia's season and Matt James' season said that they wouldn't be on Paradise, and Katie said she wouldn't be the Bachelorette if Chris Harrison was the producer or the host. So I think the contestants are starting to
figure out that without them, there's nothing. And they've kind of,
they do have a little more power.
Yeah. They're banding together and like, we're not going to stand for these things. Cause I feel like they're casting different people. Cause I feel like this year, I don't feel like there is really a person who's the archetype of the racist, or like there's usually a pretty aggressive person, and they've had some issues with that of like how I feel like in the past they allow that person to just handle things and I don't know, and let them have the spotlight in a villainous way. The villains this year have almost been like harmless villains. Like they're just yes. like people that have been there for the wrong reasons and stuff like that. This year, I feel like
what's the wrong reasons being an influencer?
Yeah.
Being a life coach.
Like
I love
to
it
come on
when someone's like 23 and they're like, I'm a life coach. And it's like,
yeah,
that's your past lives. Like your past lives gave you that experience.
I
like,
feel
I'm
like
just
you're
curious.
Talking about that chick from The Bachelor now or
from Big
Brother.
Yeah. But I see it other
Caitlin
places.
Herman.
Would you remember her name too?
Yeah.
God.
I have like a photographic memory when it comes to things I don't need to know.
I mean, I do remember people's names really well, which is why we're good with volunteers. But like, I'm just like so surprised by that. But like last names, I'm like, no, I don't know anybody's last names. But yeah, like that just cracks me up because they're all young people, right? On Bachelor, like do they let anybody over 40 on?
Well, when they
it depends on how old the lead is.
Like how old was the virgin guy that?
Like 26. Ish or something. Like Katie's like 30. But I feel like average age is somewhere.
So they are a little bit older. Like this is not, you know, like I feel like real world contestants.
It depends
like
on the season.
Like early 20s.
So like on Colton's
season. Or like
season,
the circle.
Yeah.
There's
Peter Weber's season, everyone was a baby deer, essentially. It was just a bunch of baby
21, 22 year olds.
But Claire Crawley partying. Was the oldest bachelorette.
I think that's
and they made good. They made a huge deal about her age, and she was 39.
And she looks 22.
Yeah.
And they made a huge, they might as well have like, they like, one of her promotional posters was like the graduate themed.
But so I just, this is the thing they do.
Yes.
Where
they give a person an archetype. Like this is who Katie is the sex positive bachelorette. Mm-hmm. Matt was the black bachelor. Like
so
they
what's
have
her,
a thing.
What's her picture?
Katie?
Yeah. Did they do one of her?
They have her in a shirt that says be a Katie.
Because that was a big thing trending during Matt's season of like, she called out the bullying. She was honest about her emotions. They've given her a very positive thing to run with. At least
like
I think.
She came at the right time almost.
I also think that it's really interesting. This is like a deep thing to get in at the end, but the way that The Bachelor exploits trauma and exploits traumatic things from people's past.
Like Dean. Sorry. I still can't get over the things they did to Dean with his family and that trauma.
And like you, one of the ways you bond with a contestant or with the lead is by like sharing your trauma. That's like kind of a next step like thing in the show. And so whenever Katie even shared her survivor status and her story, it was at a date where they were all sitting in a dark room in a circle. It was like an AA meeting, like just a circle of chairs. And everyone was talking about like their dark secrets. And they were saying things like, I ghosted women. I drank a lot. And then her story was an assault, her survivor story, her assault story. And I think that's interesting that compared to what they were saying. And then some, like she shared something that happened to her. It was just very different. And it felt like it was comparing them in a way that made me a little uncomfortable. But her story is that she was drinking with a friend and she was engaged in I don't remember the word she used.
She used a non-consensual
situation. And she was like, you can, you know, guess what happened from there. But she talks about how she tried to date this person. You know, and that's so common. That is such a common thing. And so and that's also a really easy one for people to victim blame and kind of dismiss you. So I thought her, you know, not only, she's not the first survivor on the show to share her story. Caitlin Miller Keys was a contestant on Colton's season. And she shared towards the end what had happened to her, but it is the first time a lead has done it. It's also the first time. So when she shared, they did not do a trigger warning before, but a rain slide like popped up after. And so Twitter was like, hey, you're supposed to put that ahead of like the content, right? You're supposed to have a content note. And so the next episode, when she told Blake, a new contestant who came in mid-season, it was the first time in Bachelor history they'd ever done a content note before the content
episode. And I've heard that was something that she pushed because she got flack on her social media because
like it was her fault,
like as it, yeah. And so she pushed it. And then now she has asked other people in Bachelor Nation to share information about Rain on their like social handles. So
I do think, and this is, yeah, like a whole nother, I feel like, discussion, but like content warning, like, I think it's helpful. By no means am I like saying that it's annoying or like difficult, but I do find it so interesting when people get mad about people being vulnerable about their own experiences and then being like, why didn't you warn us? You know, like I find that like an interesting.
Well, especially when we're talking about disclosing, Katie disclosing in a situation where I guess what I'm posing is how much consent, how much power, how much autonomy does the lead have in that moment? It's just such an interesting, and like for the show to be talking about sexual violence and letting Katie tell her story before they address that the second Bachelorette was raped during her season, during filming of her season, is just so bizarre.
By another contestant or by a producer?
A massage therapist.
And there's been instances where, like, I know Caitlin Bristow's season is one I think about, where one of the guys got really drunk and was like inappropriate with her, like tried to get her in like a hallway area or something, or like it was something like that, like on the very first night. And the producers did not step in to help her. The other guys had to. And it was like, and they aired it. They aired her in this awkward position saying like, no, like leave me alone. And he was like touching her where she did not want to be touched. And she talked about how scared it was, and it gave her trust in the guys that helped out. But I was mad that the producers allowed that situation to happen. They allowed him to get that drunk. I honestly think you have to know something that type of person is there from how extensive the interviews they'd go through.
It's like a psychological examination, isn't it?
Yeah. And then the fact that as it happened, you know, there was a camera on it the entire time. So someone was there. And like, could the cameraman have not put his camera down and helped her out instead of waiting for someone to come in? And that's the, it's all just very performative. Like they, did you plant this guy here to do that so that somebody else could be seen as a Superman for coming in and saving her?
Well, and I would think too, I mean, one, I don't think they have the best right variety of people in casting. Clearly that's why it's majority white people that end up on these shows, because it's probably majority white people that are, you know, in casting. But so I do think part of it is just like a lack of awareness of knowing what a red flag like that would look like, right? He probably didn't say, yeah, I love to corner women when I'm drunk, you know, because they want it. But like we would notice, right, like toxic masculine type of behaviors. And they would, I mean, the whole idea is that men are like vying for one person. So like clearly like sexist behaviors are like, I mean, it's a part of it.
I will say, I think, I don't really want to give them credit. And that's what's hard about this. So I think in the past, I say up until like this season, I feel like they very much, the type of guy that they put on The Bachelor, I love seeing it on JoJo Fletcher's season because Wells was the outlier, or Evan, they were both on there as like the outliers. They put a lot of aggressive alpha male type maybe on steroids type people on there that don't know how to show emotion, that don't cry, that get aggressive, that see it as a competition. They're like, I got to win my woman when they cast men. And then the people who aren't that, like Wells, I don't really know how he got famous in it because they didn't really give him the greatest edit.
Yeah, and
they
now he's engaged to Sarah Hyland.
Yeah, he did better than everybody else because she watched the show and she was like, hey, like Sarah Hyland, like Modern Family, like real celebrity. Do you know about?
No.
Okay. I'll show you to her. You know who she is.
Okay.
And now they're like together, and it's because he was like the good guy. He called out the aggressive, like douchebag of the series. Chad was like the most aggressive person ever. And now I feel like this season they've casted a bunch of Wells.
I agree.
They show really positive, I don't use the word bromance, but that was one of the words that I've heard. Like two guys, Connor and Greg, are on the couch, like cuddling each other, like male intimacy that you don't usually see in that environment.
When Michael shared that his wife died, all of the guys like sat around him and cried and hugged him.
Held his hand while he talked about it.
It was so sweet.
Have you watched last night's episode?
Yes.
Okay. Spoiler alert, if people haven't, this will come out a little bit later, so hopefully it won't be. But Connor, who I'm obsessed with, went home, and he was one of the people that is the cuddler. Usually when a guy goes home on a one-on-one date, they just leave. They showed him coming back to the guys and being like, I'm going home. And they all sobbed. Like they were all crying. They were kissing him on the cheek.
Is it because they hadn't masturbated in a while? And they didn't
know how to no, I really genuinely feel like this group of guys. I genuinely feel like this group of guys like are, I don't, I'm, so then it makes me wonder, have these guys always been applying for this show and they've always been turned away? And now,
or is that who Katie is advancing?
True. Like she's gotten rid of the douchebags. And so yeah, now the good ones are still around. Cause they're guys that are not the typical looks of your past seasons where it's all like six packs and not a lot of brains and not a lot of emotion. And like these guys, they are very attractive, but they are more average attractive than they are like movie star attractive.
And even Blake, who is kind of stereotypical bachelor hot, he's very close to his mom and like he's also very sex positive and talks a lot. His mom is like she's a writer. She writes about, and he like shares her articles and he's really obsessed with like saving endangered species. Like he's, even he is a different kind of guy.
Yeah. And I feel like now those things are more open. Like, people on Twitter and TikTok will find the contestants' social media and they'll give them like scores. This person is posting about these issues. This person only posted a black square in the summer and then everything else has been all of their white friends. This person uses the N-word in comments, like, and will openly put out like, here's what you need to know. And I always try to find those because I'm like, y'all did the work. I'll support you. I'll look at
it. Bachelor Reddit, man. It is a treasure trove of info. Yeah.
And that's how, like, Rachel Crook-Connell, that's how she got found out, because somebody found her social media and dug like years back through it. But it's showing now, like, the people that they're, I mean, they're talking about, they'll find out this person's a registered, whatever, their parents are giving money to Trump, whatever, like, they'll call it all out.
They haven't voted.
Yeah. This person has never voted, but they seem to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of just get it all, which I think is interesting. And I think that comes into it because especially I feel like differing views is hard in a relationship, but especially when you're in the public eye. Becca Kufrin, who was the Bachelorette, her person that she picked, Garrett, they seemed to have a good relationship. And then they ended mainly because he was uber conservative and in the midst of Black Lives Matter posted police support. And like, then people were coming at her, like, how can you be with someone like this when you're this very liberal Democrat and like you stand for all of these things? And she's like best friends with Rachel Lindsay, was like supporting her through all this. And I think their relationship ended because of differences in personal and political views and ethics. And then how she was almost held to the standard of, are you really going to be this person that stays with this guy?
And he just dug his heels in. Like whenever, because what happened whenever, like between the time that he was the winner and the show premiered, his Instagram likes had come out and he had like some gnarly Instagram posts, like whatever.
The Confederate flag stuff.
And like really, really racist. They, especially like racist to children, like bad stuff. And he apologized for those at the after the final rose, but then he just like didn't change. Like those Instagram posts remained his political beliefs. And I don't know, I'm proud of Becca Kufrin for doing that. There's also rumors that she dated Emmanuel Ocho last year. Conversations with the Black Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who hosted the After the Final Rose.
After Chris Harrison got booted, he was like a stand-in host, essentially, for an episode.
Okay, final thoughts. What are things that, what are in your notes that we maybe didn't get to?
I mean, my final thoughts are, I just want to encourage anyone who watches The Bachelor to watch it with a critical eye. I mean, I'm sure most people listening to this podcast do. And there are lots of Bachelor podcasts that do that. And so you should go find those. And it makes the viewing experience a lot less shameful, I guess.
I think a lot of people question about like, should shows like this be canceled? And I think to each their own, like if you choose to watch a show or not watch a show, that is your own prerogative. But I feel like the good that comes out of it is that when these negative things happen, I feel like it's our responsibility as the viewers to call it out, and to support people on the show that have had to go through it. Like if Rachel Lindsay does anything, I'll honestly buy it. I feel like she had to go through the emotional trauma of so many people as a spokesperson for Black people, essentially. And I was so proud of her when she cut her ties and said, I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. And a lot of her white allies, like Becca Kufrin, were like, I'm going to say this because she shouldn't have to. I'm going to do this because she shouldn't have to. And I think that's really where change is happening now there, is that people are
seeing that they have the power instead of the producers and the people above. And I think the only way that we can make real change, because I feel like if The Bachelor gets canceled, another show is just going to come in and take their place. If Big Brother gets out, somebody else is going to come in.
Bachelor alone is not the problem. Yeah. Necessarily.
And so I think getting people out of power, like getting Chris Harrison out and getting him not just out of the hosting gig, but kicking him out of the producership, which took a lot of money because he supposedly was like, I'm about to tell all your dirty secrets if you don't pay me out. And so like they gave him a ton of money because he openly was like, I will say all of it if y'all don't pay me what I want.
I honestly don't all the way blame him for that, though, because I think he has a point. Like, the show tried to use him as
the scapegoat.
He's a symptom of the problem.
He was a scapegoat. He is not the only problem. And they were like, we got rid of him. We're good now. Look, we have women as the host. And one of them's black. And look, we have Katie. She loves masturbating. And so all is well.
Well, Michelle's the next bachelorette after her, too. They announced two bachelorettes at the same time.
And so they're going to do bachelorette, because they know the bachelors are the problem. And Michelle's a black woman who's a school teacher and everybody loved her. But I think that viewers seeing that they have the power to actually change things when they bring about these conversations, when they talk about these things, because I think when we change The Bachelor and we change reality shows and we change TV, we change who we are as a society in the same way that actors, I feel like, are using their power, saying like, I'm not going to take this role from someone who is trans, or I'm not going to take this role from someone who should be playing it that is darker skin than me, whatever it may be. I feel like when we're opening up and speaking out about it, that's how we can change it for the better.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank you guys so much for accepting my 11 p.m. Bachelor-induced DM.
Thank you again to Kelly from Ampersand for coming on and having this discussion with us. And thank you for listening to this episode. And remember, we're still not asking for it.
This podcast has been brought to you by Hope Harbor, a sexual trauma recovery center located in South Central Kentucky. Special thanks to Girl Tones for our intro. Listen to the rest of their song, Can't Pause, and others, wherever you stream or buy music.